session number 20306, Reel 6.
Ray Robinson, Reel 6.
Yes. We went from there into Germany to a little town called Halle in the Westphalia area of Germany, within about 20 miles from Bielefeld, where Monty's headquarters were. And then again, it was just guards there. Guards. And for me, it was home leave for 10 days. Yeah, it was in the July. Back to Halle. I did a 3-week stint as my platoon officer's batman, because his batman had been recalled home for some reason, which was very nice, a very nice rest for me. That was at Bielefeld, actually, because he joined Montgomery's headquarters there. And it was from there that we was going to America. We got the call, we're going to America. Went down, actually got down to Belgium. I was there about 3 months. Then back down, no, not 3 months. It might be a bit less anyway. That was where we was going to go on leave for 2 weeks, embarkation leave. Then the story was well, it was cancelled there because the atom bomb came in then in the August. And that's when we went to, as a demonstration platoon, which I've mentioned, down to Berg Leopold.
What was the attitude of German civilians towards you when you were at Halle?
Actually, we didn't see many because we was on the outskirts of the town, you see. We wasn't actually in the town. And was not. There was no times when we went, no reason where we was allowed into the town, you see. At least as far as I was concerned, anyway. It was just guards, you know.
Were there any displaced persons in the area?
Yes, we were actually doing, one of our guards was at a displaced camp, not far off from where we were stationed. But there was mainly all foreign nationals from, I would say, I would think a lot was Romanians, who'd been, I would think, from slave labour, you know, but they was in this camp. And we had some very arrogant people from there. But there was English people, English-speaking people, who were supposed to be in charge, but we were just doing guards there.
In what way were they?
Well, they was, you know, very arrogant. They was telling us what to do, you know. Only young slips of girls in the early 20s, you know. It seemed to me like it was though there was college people who'd been learning the language and everything, you know. That was what I think, anyway.
These were Romanians?
Well, I don't think there's Romanians. I think there was people from who'd been put by, which was then maybe what we'd maybe call then United Nations, who was looking after all these displaced persons, you know. But that was it, you know.
What kind of orders were they giving?
Well, you know, you weren't allowed to do this and do... I couldn't really put my finger on it, but to me they seemed very arrogant people, you know. And forgetting that we were looking after them. Yeah, well, I'd just like to recall a couple of incidents which happened, which has just come to light. One, what I refer to as the wine experience. Again, we'd reached this little village. Names I can't tell because you were popping from the number of villages and areas you popped through during the war. You just can't remember them. At that time, we was only acting as a section, which was about 9 or 10 men in a section. It was like a village green where was staying at the time. It was like where we have a, in England we have a scout hut or a cricket hut, a pavilion on the village green. This was possibly their version of it.
Is this in Germany?
This was in Germany, yes. It would be, I would say, in the late March, early April time. There was, things were very quiet at the time. We'd reached it, gone into this pavilion to, you know, to rest up. And it was full of cupboards. When they opened the cupboards, it was full of German flags. Small flags, pennants, big flags. Obviously, it had been used as for the German youth. Anyway, the lads all got what flags they could. I managed to get one about 10 foot long by about 8 foot square, which I did bring home and soon my mother saw it, she put it in the dustbin. But where I was there, up turns this civilian in ragged clothes. He'd be about, I should say, in his early 40, black as the ace of spades, rattling in some foreign language, which obviously wasn't German. Babbling away, wanted our attention.
You mean he was dirty?
He was dirty, well, his clothes was all ragged and he was, as I say, he'd probably been working on the land, I could only imagine. And anyway, our officer turned up, platoon officer, and he got to understand that he wanted to show us something very important. So our officer, a couple of us, he got a couple of us to go with him. He got this 1500 weight truck and we set off with this, I always call him a DP, displaced person, you see, because there was a lot of them round at the time. And
was this after VE Day?
No, this was during the war. This was in the March or early April. And he was leading us way out. We didn't know where I was going. As far as I was concerned, it was no man's land. And after a while, we ended up at this big roadside like restaurant, cum farm. It must have been a German gentleman farmer, very rich. And this, yeah, this big barn attached at the back of this restaurant. I went inside. Inside there was this, like a byre with about five dead horses, what the Germans had shot, because the Germans were shooting all the animals. It's like a Scotch earth, you see. And first thing, this DP went to this corner where there was all these bales of hay, dragged it down, which uncovered a cache of wine, hundreds of cases of wine, obviously from conquered countries, what the Germans had looted. So, and that was it. That's what he was showing us. So, obviously, this, our officer thought, well, we're not coming here for nothing, so we decided to help ourselves. He loaded this 1500 weight as much as we could. In fact, we was, the only room we was got out was on top of these cases. And just as I was leaving, this German Frau come running out from the restaurant, shouting and screaming that she was going to fetch the German soldiers. So we made a hasty retreat. And that was that story. Man, we ended up sozzled next morning because most of it went to the officer's mess, and we got a few bottles to share, like, which I regretted next morning. And that was that little incident.
Do you remember the name of the officer?
No, I can't remember. It was this officer I'd already mentioned. He was a very good officer. Great officer he was, very good. The other incident, which happened during the war, was as again we'd reached a village where the only dead person we saw was laid in the middle of the road. He was a civilian. And just at the outside the village, there was this little stone bridge, like many you see in the English countryside, spanning a little brook or a little stream. They'd blown it up, and we had to cross it by planks placed across the stream. And our section was placed in, well, it was like a small holding outside the road, about 200 yards outside the village. If you can manage, if you can imagine a football pitch where the goalpost was, it was a small holding like that. Not as big as a football pitch, obviously, maybe about a quarter size of a football pitch. And this farmhouse was in the where the goalpost position would be. We was in there, just a section, 8 or 9 of us, where we used the garret as a lookout, because it overlooked a big depression. At the other side, about 300 or 400 yards, there was a row of houses with gaps in between, maybe about 3 houses in the gap, 3 houses in the gap. And we had this machine gun on this dormer window, where we used to watch the Germans dash across these gaps. You know, you'd be watching, and all of a sudden you'd see this figure dashing across the gap of about, maybe the width of this room, 15 foot. And but we never bothered. It was a waste of time. I mean, while things quiet, you kept it quiet. I was in there about 4 or 5 days. And this night our officer decided to take us on a patrol across you to see what the position was. Well, in between us there was a big depression, just like a dried out lake. I reckon it'd be about 10 foot deep on level. So we started on this night, it'd be about midnight. We had to go down the slope into the depression to cross. We'd just got down this depression, got about 100 yards or so across, when our artillery decided to clobber us. I can only imagine part of our company had been on our flank, and there'd been no discussion about telling them that we was going out on patrol, and they'd probably heard us and thought we was the enemy. So we decided to make a hasty retreat, well, with the shells falling all around us and mortars. But anyway, we got back safely, and that was a bit of experience.
Did that happen before or after the wine incident?
This happened after.